Podcast Dojo, episode number 9. Master the art of the podcast. It's Podcast Dojo! Hey there, everybody. Hello, and welcome to Podcast Dojo. This is your host, Brian, and this show each week aims to inspire those who want to start a podcast to grab a mic, and to coach those who are podcasting to aim for the very best, and to cheer the podcasting community on as podcasting becomes more and more popular each and every day. And I want to thank you very much for coming by, having a seat, and listening. And I'm just eternally grateful. If you want to get a hold of me, and I encourage you to do so, to throw your questions at my way, let me know what you think. Let me know what you're wondering, your opinions and concerns. And to do that, best way is to shoot me an email over at brian@podcastdojo.com. Or if you like, we also have a phone number, which is 530-763-2789. And here soon, we're fixing to also have SpeakPipe as an option also for you. You can, if you want to leave some comments about the show and comment on the show notes, you can do so by going to podcastdojo.com/009. Or if you like, you can just go to podcastdojo.com, and over on the left-hand side, you're going to see a little red button. If you click that little red button, it'll take you over to where you can actually be a part of our mailing list, the Podcaster Society. And from there, you will be receiving not just your podcast a day early. You'll also, as our services and my services and stuff start to kind of grow, you'll be able to receive some killer discounts and other perks as being part of the Podcaster Society. So I thank y'all, those who have joined, and those who are fixing or wanting to join, I ask that you please do so. So this week we have gotten all the way up. We have recorded. We've gotten all the steps all the way up to now. We have got our show in the recorder. We have gotten it recorded. We've sat down. We've talked about it for however long we wanted to have our show. Now what do we do? Well, it's time to actually do the editing. But before we actually get into editing, let's talk about a couple of definitions that you're going to be hearing a bit in here. Those are sample rates, a bit rate, and compression. And there's a few others in there, but we're going to just kind of gloss over them a little bit and go into them deeper in a little bit in a show later down the road. But anyhow, whenever we are talking about editing the show, doing our post-production processing, in my case, and in a lot of people, other people's cases, we're going to be talking about Audacity. Now, Audacity is a free program, a very powerful free program. It almost makes you feel bad that they're giving it away for free. And if you want, I think, if I'm thinking right, there is a way that you can actually go to their, to people's, to the Audacity's website. And I think there's a way you can actually donate to them to tell them thank you, which if you do so, that's great. But we're also going to, besides for just using Audacity, we're also going to be using something called Chris's Dynamic Compressor. And, I've got links to both of those over at podcastdojo.com/009, which is the link to get you over to the show notes. You can download Audacity. You can also download and have instructions on how to install Chris's Dynamic Compressor. Now, let's cover a couple of the definitions first, just so that we get them taken care of, kind of get an idea of what we're talking about in our head before we jump in there and I start really speaking geekanese. And if I do so, shoot me a message. Let me know. And you can do so over at podcastdojo.com/009. And let me know, go, hey, what was this one item that you were talking about? Well, I can go through it. I can explain it, because I do have a habit from time to time, just going and cranking on, going into my second language, which is Geekanese, as my wife likes to call it. So, let's get some definitions taken care of. First off, let's talk about sample rate. Now, a sample rate would be a good way to look at this is going to be at a frame rate. If you're used to looking at videos, a frame rate is how often a particular frame in a video, how often do those different frames go by? Whoa, what was that? So how often do those frames go by? If you have a low frame rate, like a 12 frames per second frame rate, things are really choppy. All of a sudden, people are moving really kind of odd and bizarre and not very fluid-like. If you go up to about 32 frames a second, all of a sudden, people are moving kind of basically fairly normal. You go really fast, and yeah, you've got some really good movement. It's very smooth. It's so smooth, though, it almost looks fake. If you ever watched a lot of the sports shows, when they get the high definition and they're running at a faster frame rate, boy, things, I don't know how to explain it other than it just almost looks fake, but they're actually, everything's good. It's just almost at a too fast of a rate. But another item is, and what happens when you have a frame rate? If you think of the frame rates and you think of each picture of a frame, the higher the frame rate you're going to have for, say, okay, just so that we can kind of keep a perspective on this. Let's say we're doing a 60-second film, all right? You've got 12 frames every second, okay? So if we were to do a 12 frames a second, you've got 720 frames. Sounds like a lot, but as I said, you are really choppy at 12. And so if each one of those pictures is a meg, that's 720 megs, okay? So you've got a decent sized picture right there, or a little show right there. Now that would be a very high quality if it was a meg per deal, but still, or meg per frame. But at 720 megs for, and with a meg being each frame. Now, what happens if you all of a sudden bump that up where you have 60 frames still, or 60 seconds show, but you've got you're running at 32 frames. I'll get my terminology, my phraseology down here soon. 32 frames a second. So for 60 seconds, you have now gone through 1,920 frames, which if you turn that into where again equates to a meg of frame, that's almost 2 gigs of data. Okay. Now with that, we can run with what a sample rate is. Okay. Now your sample rate is how many times is your voice sampled? Is your audio sampled? Does it take a bit of the information? All right. Now they run on kilohertz. All right. Which if you look at not a Geiger counter. You know, then in the science room, you got that little round oscilloscope. I'd get it down eventually. In the science rooms, you had the oscilloscopes, and they would talk and show you what hertzes were, which is every time everything would make a cycle, whatever the sound would be or the electrical noise. And you could see it, and they would show you at, you know, what 15 hertz was, and there'd be 15 little bumps there. Well, we're talking kilohertz, which kilo is 1,000. So we're talking about thousands of hertz. So this is, I mean, you're not going to see a perfect sine wave, but every time that you have a pass, that sine wave, that is a pass of your audio. Check to grab a section of your audio. Now you can have really low, and I think telephones use a really low sample rate, something along the lines of about like 15 kilohertz. Don't hold me to that exactly. It might even be lower, like 5. But what that does is it takes like your S's. Instead of having the nice S sound, starts sounding more like an F. So instead of Sister Susie, it's Fifth Foodie. And Ifter, yeah, Ufi, it starts really degrading the sound. And the sound doesn't sound the way that you're really, really wanting to have it represented. So you want to increase the number of times that it grabs your sample rate comes through. So basically that sample rate of like 5 kilohertz is like looking at a movie running at 5 frames a second. Really, really choppy. You're just kind of boom. You've got his arms and legs are in one position. Then they're in a partial and vastly different position, and then a vastly different position again. No fluidity at all. Okay. So to make your voice sound as good as possible without making it monstrously large, this is the eternal battle of podcasters, because we want to sound as awesome as we possibly can, because we are awesome. The trick, though, is to find that balance. Where is it? Because if you can have your audio sound perfect. Every little sound, every little nuance that your mouth, little bit of noise your mouth makes, comes through like a needle being dropped 1,000 miles away. You know, it's just clack, 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 clack. Well, you can have that, but you're looking at a monstrous size file because you're not losing anything. So you have to really learn to give and take. It's a give and take relationship. You can have quality at the expense of portability, of size. You can have a small size, but you're going to give up quality. Okay. So you've got to decide what are you willing to bargain with? And you're going to be bargaining with yourself. So you are the toughest person to give up. You're going to be the last one to, no, we're not. Okay. You're going to be in this eternal struggle with yourself. Can we bump it up a little better and get it more? But you've got, especially with like in Libsyn, you've got a certain amount of data you can upload each month. So you've got that rotating data limit. And so you have to really figure out, how do we get, say you're paying the $5 a month and you're trying to do 4 shows. Well, how do you fit $5 worth of data into 4 shows? Well, one way is to hit the prime sample rate. Now, the prime sample rate is 44.1 kilohertz. And that is, they've got a really fancy way of thinking it. But basically what it is human range is supposed to be hearing from 44 hertz or 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz, that big old range. And so to get that range, to be able to cover that full range, they're saying that 44.1 kilohertz will cover the basic range of all human hearing. So again, it takes the top, the very extreme top portion out and the very bottom extreme portion out. So you normal people who aren't going to be hearing, you know, ultra low frequencies or frequencies that make dogs writhe in pain, you're not going to have to worry about those, except for the audio snobs. And then, which in all honesty, do let you in on a little secret, you do in podcasting, whether you're an audio snob at first, you're going to become an audio snob. You're going to be going, wow, there's a lot of noise in this, you know, and your friends are going to be going, what do you mean? There's nothing. You're going to understand what those audio files go on and on and on and on about trying to get that perfect sound and perfect recreation, representative sound of the trumpet and things along those lines. But to get the sample rate, there's a setting, and we'll go into how the setting is made. Now you also have what your bit rate is. Now the bit rate is a good way to look at it is going to be with pictures or a movie is going to be your resolution. Okay. You can have a really, 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 really low bit rate, 8-bit rate if you wanted to, and it's going to sound, your audio picture is going to be very, pixelated. I kept trying to say bitelated. I was like, no, it's not bit. It's pixelated. You're going to have a whole bunch of squares. You're not going to have smooth flowing curves. You're not going to have all the stuff that you really want to have in your audio. The same is, again, you can crank that bit rate up to, you know, as high as your system will go. The problem is you're going to end up having a monstrous sized file. It's basically, you can crank it up to high enough to where it's a WAV file. There's no loss, and you're going to have it, and it'll be just like a typical, it'll just be huge. It's just going to be this monstrous size. And so you may only be able, you may not even be able to do one show a month if you're having to upload it to Libsyn, depending on how long your show is. Now, the last definition that we're going to cover is compression. Now, there are two types. Now, we're going to break compression up into two types. There is the file compression, and then there's audio compression. So we're right now, to start off with, we're going to talk file compression. Okay. Now, I'm sure you've used like WinZip or any other type of compressing software where you're able to take your different, take a bunch of different files, and you can put them in your zip file and compress it down. And so you may have a 4 meg file. You may have a 4 meg file. And by the time you get done and you compressed it down, all of a sudden that 4 meg file, zip file becomes a 1.5 meg file. Now, the way they do that is actually because people are a heck of a lot smarter than I ever will be, because they're using actually math, an algorithmic math algorithm to figure out what parts to pull out to be able to get the file to shrink, but not to lose the structure of that file. So, I mean, because you could take a picture, and you could have it as a raw file, RAW, which is a uncompressed file. You can actually take it then and compress it down half the way, and you could have like a JPEG, or not a JPEG, but a PNG file, PNG. You could press it down a little bit more and you would have a JPEG. You could press it all the way down and there's nothing there. You're not going to see anything. You're not going to have, but maybe a blob of color here and a blob of color there and a blob of color there. And it's not going to fix it. You're not going to be able to tell what that picture is. So you want to make sure that when you're compressing something down, you don't compress it down too much. And you can do that in an MP3. You can really compress that puppy down and make it to where it just doesn't look right. So when you compress it down, there's two different ways that you compress it. There is by the lame MP3 encoder, which stands for, I can't even remember but it's called the lame MP3 encoder. And I think it stands for lame MP3 encoder is what it's actually, what they stand. It's kind of the guys had a sense of humor. And it works great. That one is actually a free open sourced MP3 encoder. And a lot of people, when you install it in Audacity, they want you to install the lame MP3 encoder also. You can if you like. You don't have to. And the way I do stuff, I don't install the lame MP3 encoder. Now, the other way is the other encoding method is through what's called Fraunhofer. And he apparently the guy named Fraunhofer, he had a different idea of how to do the math and he figured out a different way. And it's a licensed product. So to be able to use Fraunhofer encoding, you have to have a purchased product. So you're not going to find it on Audacity, but you can find it through iTunes. And so that's what we're actually going to be using for our final compression. So, okay. Sorry about that. Conversations were getting loud. And so anyhow, we were talking about software compression, file compression, but there's also the software compression of what happens during the processing of a show. And we'll actually get into that one a bit but not entirely. So we'll kind of brush over that and just say compression is not exactly what it sounds like. It's more of a stretch it out if it needs to be stretched out, or smash it up if it needs to be smashed up, is what that actually means. So yeah, I know. I see the quizzical look on your face. Trust me, it's not near as odd as you would think that it is. So anyhow, whenever I do Podcast Dojo and I get finished talking and I push the stop button on the recorder, what do I do? Well, this is probably the simplest way to explain it, and that's just to go by step by step by step by step. So what I've done to begin with in Audacity is I created a project file. Basically what this is the primary Audacity AUP based file. And what you can do with this is it's kind of like a doc, DOC file, doc file with Microsoft Word. It is just the base file that Audacity typically puts when you're saving the project that you're working on. Now, to actually do this is probably the easy. What I would do is I would just open up a new project, and I would take your intro, your bumper, which I'm not sure if that's the actual proper term, but it's the, like here, it's the Podcast Dojo episode number 9 that you hear at the very, very beginning before the music starts. So I put the bumper, the intro, the outro, and the Hayseed or Hay Rolling Podcast Network closer all in one file. And I will leave it. I'll kind of get them sort of positioned where they might be. And I'll save that. And I'll save that as show note. AUP. Save that as that. That way, save that. Can I be redundant? I'll save that as that name. And every time I start up a new show, I'll just open up the folder that contains the audio file, the freshly recorded episode, and I'll open up Audacity with that extension, or with the show notes.AUP. And then all I have to do is just take the audio file out of my Roland R-05, drag and drop it into my Audacity program, position it to where I want to have it positioned, have to do a little bit of adjustment for the intro, for the bumper, kind of move the intro over just a couple seconds to where the lines meet. Take my audio and I'll move it over to where it's just starting to fade out on the audio. And then, so by the time I get finished talking, or by the time it's going, the show's, sorry about that. Anyhow. So you'll take your, see if I can figure out where I left off at, because I got interrupted. So anyhow, with building a project file, once you get everything in, get all your different files, you have, like I said, you have your intro and your outros and your bumpers and the actual show itself, and you get it lined up to where you want it. It's a lot easier than having to go through and re-import, because you'll find out, especially the first time you go and try to import all the files, it takes it a little while to import it, because what it does is it takes that file and it converts it into a different format, so that Audacity itself is able to understand it. So it changes it in a way that it takes a little while. It has to do some processing with it. It has to do some work to actually get the change taken care of. And when it finishes that change, then you're able to go to the next step. So, and you'll find this out every time you have to run a different type of effect, like noise removal or anything along those lines, especially the long interview or long part of the show, the main portion of the show, the main meat of the podcast itself. It takes it a little while, usually about 5-7 minutes. And so whenever you're actually going through that process, if you've got other things to do, that's to with your show, like update the show notes and put in some extra links and things like that, this is a good time to actually sit down and do that. But before you actually even get your show notes .aup taken care of, there's a few other settings in your file that you really want to pay attention to. You want to make some changes you want to make, and they're in the preferences. So you would actually go to edit and preferences, and in preferences you want to go over on the left hand side. You'll see a series of different selections, being devices, playback, recording quality, interface tracks, import export, extended import, projects, libraries, spectrograms, directories, warnings, effects, keyboard, mouse. All right. Now you can go through and you can change a whole heap and lot with Audacity, but I'm actually interested in two of those selections. Quality is one. And if you click on quality, you'll have sampling, default sample rate. And you want to make sure that is set to 44.1 kilohertz or 44,100 hertz is actually how they'll have it showing. Default sample rate, you'll go ahead and choose 32-bit float. Real-time conversion, sample rate converter, go ahead and just leave it as medium quality. Dithering, none. Don't dither. It's rude. High-quality conversion, sample rate converter is best. Leave it at best quality. It's slow, but it's the better. And dithering, it's shaped. Then you want to go over to tracks. And in tracks, you want to choose update while playing, automatically fit tracks vertically zoomed. You don't have to have it selected. Default view mode, though, you want to make sure it's set to waveform. Select all audio in the project if none are selected. Actually, you want to have that one. That one gets annoying because you'll think you had something selected and you didn't, and you hit delete and all of a sudden everything's gone and you're like, oh, and so you have to, your best friend is Control Z. If you're in Windows, I think it's Command Z. If you're a Mac man, but, you want to have the under behavior, select all audio in project. If none selected, unchecked. Then also enable dragging of left and right selection edges. That's actually really good for selecting, and you're able to really get exact in there. So have that one checked. Move track focus cycles repeatedly through tracks. Really don't have to have that one checked. Or editing a clip can move other clips. Yeah, go ahead and have that one. And the solo button is standard. Now, everything else that you want to do, edit at your own risk. I'm going to say that again. If you want to make any other changes in here, do so at your own risk, or document the changes so that if you happen to screw something up and all of a sudden something's not working the way that you're wanting it to, you can actually go back and undo whatever it is you've done. And until you get it to right to where you want, keep those notes at hand. So that's the basis of what you need to have your Audacity set up. And so now, jump forward again. Now we've got everything set up. We've brought up our work file, which in my case is shownotes.aup. We've brought it up. We've taken our audio and we've drug it into Audacity. Which you can do. You can actually just left click and drag it onto the screen of Audacity and it will automatically import it, which is great. Once you've imported it, and like I said, it could take 5 minutes, if not longer, go through and want to start doing your bits of processing. Now, I don't normally like to do a whole heap and lot of processing. One, because to go through, and the first time you do it, the first time you hear all your ums, ahs, and all your crutch sounds, you're going to want to sit there and listen to the whole thing. And every time you go, take it out, take it out, take it out, take it out, take it out. And you're going to be spending 4 hours editing a show. There's a good rule of thumb. Your podcast, all the work you do on a podcast is basically going to be on a 4-to-1 ratio. For every hour of podcasting you do, or every minute of podcasting you do, there are 4 minutes of work involved. So 1 hour, 4 hours. And so you're going to end up having a lot of, you're going to find out that taking out every single is going to blow that ratio to bits. You're going to end up doing 6 hours of work on an hour, 1 hour show. And when I say 4 to 1, I'm talking for the show prep from the first moment you get ready to start your show to the moment that you upload it and you press publish. That's about a 4 hour window that you're working. If you've got a 1 hour show, 3 hour, 30 minute show, you're looking at about 2 hours work. And it's pretty good ratio that is set. It's almost, I think it's like 8 to 1 or 1 to 8 ratio. For video though, I think for every hour you work, a video you do, it's 8 hours of editing. So remember that if you ever decide to get into video, it gets kind of involved. So, but anyhow, so we have everything. We got our audio, our intro song lined up with the very end of the bumper. We put our position, the closing, so that it starts, well, for Podcast Dojo, it's, you got 2 minutes of music that comes fading in as I'm wrapping everything up. I actually am, like I said, I drop it in at afterwards. I don't try to do the fancy, let's do an audio sound cart and do our sound effects and stuff as we're talking. I'll just mark down on a piece of paper, hey, 2 minutes, 30 seconds into the end of the show, I need to put in a swoosh or whatever. So once I have my audio all set to where I think about where it is, I'm not everything's all set perfectly yet, because what'll happen is I'll zoom out and I'll see if there's any major holes in my audio. Now, when I say holes, I'm literally meaning a hole. You'll see the sound. You'll see what your sound looks like. Your speech and stuff looks like. It looks like a big old fat hairy caterpillar, except for the places where you stop talking. And unless you're in a noisy area, and when I say noisy, I'm not meaning as noisy as like a factory floor, but I'm saying like in a coffee house or someplace where there's a bunch of people talking and there's a light murmur outside and you got dogs barking and stuff. That type of noise, honestly, you really don't want to even try editing. If you're doing those, there's a way to edit those in or to cut those extended pieces of talking, of silence or kind of silence out. But when you're talking in the studio, like we're here, we basically start with a fairly quiet area, except for the fact that my dogs happen to start barking here as I'm talking now. So you may be catching a couple of barks and stuff in the back. We've got, who knows what's going on. Neighbors are probably killing something. So gotta love my neighbors. And but anyhow, when you're in a studio sound, you're basically going to have a bunch of really good silence. Now, if you don't, say you have a very mild fan noise or air noise in the background, what I'll normally do, let me talk about my workflow instead, because we'll cover each of the different points. So I'm trying to take a rabbit hole and I've got to rein myself in. So after I have everything kind of positioned, good thing to do is to run noise remover. Noise remover in Audacity is actually really easy. It's a neat way of doing it. Look for, and every, before you start a show, a good rule of thumb is to give yourself about 30 seconds to a minute worth of just dead air. So it picks up what all is happening around so that, you have a reference for your noise removal, because you're wanting to remove particular sets of noise. And if you've got it in within that first minute, when the noise removal program runs through, it's going to go, hope, there we go. That's that noise we were looking for. Remove it. And it will actually take those noises out. Now, when it comes to places where you're talking, that's why you want it very subtle. If it's a loud, just you've got fans blowing on you and you've got your computer fan running and you've got a 60 Hertz hum going on, don't remove it. Honestly, good point. Do not remove it, because all you're going to do is you're going to draw attention to the noise afterwards. Don't believe me. Try it. Turn on a fan, have it sitting fairly close to you so that it picks it up on your audio. Talk for a little bit and then turn it all off and then run noise reduction on it or noise removal on it. It'll remove the noise up to the point that you talk. And then when you're talking, all of a sudden you've got the noise in the background. Now, it may not be as loud as before, but it'll still be there, and it's very, very, very noticeable. So if you happen to have noise in the background, just put a hey, sorry, folks, didn't realize it was I had a noise in the background, and so there we got – I've left it in there. If it's too much for you, I apologize. I'll see if I can redo the show sometime and go from there. But if you say – telling somebody you're going to do that, recommend – hold yourself to it. But if you take your noise remover, select your dead space, and it'll have, you'll have a little option in there that is says, well, let's see. It says get noise profile. And that's the first step you want to do. And choose your supposed dead air that you know you have, that minute and a half or half a minute to a minute worth of dead air that you have at the very beginning. Select it. Choose Get Noise Profile, click OK, then double-click on that track. When you choose that track, it'll highlight the whole shabazz from the beginning to the end. Not all, everything up from the top to the bottom, but everything on that particular track. Go back into Effects, Noise Removal, and then click OK. Now, they've got several options like noise reduction, how many decibels, sensitivity, frequency smoothing, attack delay time. And choose whether you want the noise removal or the noise isolated. So if you really want to hear what the noise is, you can actually choose isolate and it'll take everything else out except for the noise. So you want to have that one set for removal. Everything else, basically where it's setting is a good place. If you want to get around to really playing with stuff, be my guest, have fun, enjoy it, but write down what the previous was so that you can get back home. But when you click OK, it's going to take a little while because it's got to go through from the beginning to the end and look at each little piece and see if it matches that noise profile. And so once it's done, all of a sudden the itty bitty caterpillar that you had at the beginning will disappear, which you shouldn't have any. You should be a solid line, but you may have a little bit of sound that still leaks into your audio. That'll be gone. The audio in your speech, it'll be removed, especially in the quiet spots and at the end. So it'll take care of the typical portions of the typical problem areas of your sound. Then what I typically will do is I will run Chris's dynamic compressor. And I actually have these. You can get that from Audacity to Podcast. And I've got a link for it over at podcastdojo.com/009. And Daniel J. Lewis went ahead and is hosting this because the actual creator of Chris's dynamic compressor, he passed away a couple years ago. And so it's not being developed anymore, but it's still probably one of the best Audacity compressors out there. And it's got a very, very simple set of settings. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't remember the settings. So every time you go in, you have to reset it, but actually what happens is after a couple, three times of doing it, you'll start remembering. But it comes with five different settings that you want to remember. You got your compression ratio, compress ratio, which is how much do you want compression to apply, which raises the soft parts that are too soft and lowers some of the louder parts, basically, is what a compressor does. So when you're talking about software compression, if you're talking like this and you run a compressor on, it'll come up and sound normal. And if you have somebody who's really loud, it'll actually kind of squash the dynamic portions a little bit just so that stays within a range within a particular ratio. I like the compress ratio of 0.95. That one works pretty good for me. Compression ratio of half, not that much. And you want, when your ratio, it's like a 1.1 ratio. Okay. So 1.1 for every, it will really mess it up. You want almost a 1 to 0 ratio, but not quite. So it's a 0.95 ratio. Compression hardness, leave it like it is at a 0.5. Your floor now, or let's talk about hardness. Hardness is how aggressive to do the compression. And you can make it to where you can actually raise when parts are still hard to hear, even with a high compressed ratio, and lower when the result sounds lower when the result sounds distorted. So you can, because you can actually compress it to where it starts really starting to fall apart. It's kind of like zooming in on a picture. You can also set the floor. Now, the floor is if you raise the floor, it means that the quieter something is, the quiet, it's going to stay quiet. So, but, or louder something is, it's going to be registered as quiet. So, minus 32 is what it standardly is. I leave it like that. Noise gate fall off, I set it as a 2. Now, that basically what a noise gate is what is considered noise and what is considered is supposed to be silent. And you can set that to whatever factor you want to have it as. Just know that if you set it too high, you're going to either A, get sound clipping, again, where sound, right, and things fall off. And so you don't want to have the ends of your words lopped off, because when you talk, the sound fades out. And so you don't want it to unnaturally be chopped off. So you don't want to have it too terribly high. 2.0 is good. Maximum amplitude, 0.98 is usually a pretty good max amplitude. And, that helps if you'll lower it actually if you end up getting some type of clipping and you want to try to fix it. So you can sit there and you can really fiddle with the different sounds or settings and be able to get the best sound that you think you possibly be able to pull out of. And I have my settings listed over on the show notes at Hayseed Report. Golly. Podcast Dojo. I've got to sneak it in there from time to time. All right. Podcastdojo.com/009. So, compression ratio is actually 0.85. I don't know why I said 9.5. 9.5 is the max amplitude. So, zoom out. What I'll do from there is I'll go ahead and I'll zoom out again and, get a whole view and see if there's still some really noticeable dead zones in everything. Cause I've now taken all the quiet and I've really made it blow up some. And so you've got the really evident quiet spots. Went ahead and removed any of the excess noise that I don't want, blew up all the noises and compressed the noises that I wanted to have. And so we want to look again and see, all right, do we have any dead spots? If we do, best thing to do that now is to actually turn around and do what's called truncate silence. This is actually good in a couple of ways because, one, especially if you have a tendency to be kind of a slow talker and you're not sure on how to really get yourself to sound like you're talking a bit faster. Well, there is actually a way to do that. You can use what's called truncate silence. And this is actually a program that looks for silence, breaks in silence, and will break in, will smash it at a ratio. And you can have, again, for every second of silence, or for every 4 seconds of silence, it'll mash it down one, or whatever ratio you choose to have. So you can have, you know, if you end up having 4 seconds of silence, you now chop that down to one, and it makes you sound not quite so slow talking. You can actually get yourself kind of talking a little faster and a little more fluid. Now, you can do it too much as anything. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. So you really have to watch and find, again, work with it and see what your best solution is. I'd actually just use it as it naturally pulls up. So the default settings on there typically cover what I need. And if there's still any really big chunks in there, I'll go in from there and I'll just go ahead and cut those out to a respectable size, unless it's intended and I purposely had a pregnant pause there. From there, I'll go ahead and do a small readjustment on the end of the for the closer and the hay rolling outro, or the outro and the hay rolling closer. Then I do what's called normalize. And normalize basically looks at everything and goes, okay, we're going to try to make it sound as same as possible. Now, a lot of people go, well, why would you want to do that? Because, you know, that's the dynamics in it. You really want to be able to, You really want to be able to show, be able to, and well, anyhow. So you want to be able to shrink and grow and get everything to sound right. Because if you have too much dynamic, it causes people to volume fatigue, and people really just don't want to have volume fatigue is the end, the epitome of what that is. So you get all that done. Time to export. You got your sound sounding just as perfect. I mean, even angels are starting to become jealous of how well your sound is. Okay, exaggeration. Still, you in your eyes, oh, it's great. So what do you call your show? Or what do you call your file? Well, you can basically put whatever you want in. But I would actually recommend a particular naming consortium. Or naming convention, consortium, convention. And that is, I would recommend, so that your listeners, if they happen to be using something, say they manually download the podcast for whatever reason, so they can tell what episode they are listening to, I would actually either A, type out like Podcast Dojo for the ours. Actually, I do it here at Podcast Dojo is I use initials PDJ for Podcast Dojo, and then the episode number 009. So whenever I export it as a wave, it is PDJ009.WAV. I export it as a wave, and I recommend you export it out of Audacity as a wave file, because if you export it you're not going to be able to export it as an MP3 unless you've put in the encoder. But if you export it as a wave, that takes you to the next step. But when you're doing your name, don't put any spaces, don't put any symbols other than like an underscore or a hyphen, because there are several different portions of problems with your audio. One, it makes it really tough for places like Libsyn and Blueberry and some other players to actually recognize that. And a lot of times they won't allow you to put in slashes or brackets or anything like that. It has to be a valid file name. And so if you try to put in, you know, PDJ and 009s in parentheses, it's not going to play. It's not going to work at all. And you are going to have people emailing you going, well, why can't I get your podcast, your episode? Well, because it's not coming through, because you've got invalid symbols in there. So don't worry about symbols. Just run it together. PDJ 009. You'll be perfect. All right. Now, the next step that I do is I open up iTunes, and in iTunes, you actually have several different settings that you want to do. If you've never installed iTunes, you go to iTunes.com, download the installer, install iTunes, and then when it's installed, there's a couple things you want to do, because right off the bat, it's not going to convert to MP3. It's going to try to do it into MP4A or M4A or something along those lines. It's going to be more Apple specific, because Apple, you know, likes to do things their way because they're Apple. So what you actually want to do is, and again, go to your preferences, whether that's edit preferences or however it goes in Macintosh. But you want to go and go edit preferences. And then about 3/4 of the way down, you're going to see you're going to see a section for import. You're going to choose for import using MP3 encoder. And then you're going to hit the button that's sitting right beside that. This will bring up don't choose using MP3 encoder. Choose custom. In the setting, choose custom from the dropdown. Now, this will bring up your MP3 encoder settings. And you're going to save a file. Your stereo bitrate is what it's going to come up with. Choose 128 kilobits per second. Now, you're going, wow, that's really big. Well, that's stereo quality for stereo, okay? Now, when you're doing your audio and your bit rates. Okay. Bit rates are kind of funny and can be kind of confusing out of the fact because that is the combined. They actually take your bit rates and they split them in half. So you have 128 kilobits in one ear, or 64 bits in one ear, 64 bits in another ear. 64 plus 64 is, hey, there you go. Good to see you went to a good school, 128. So you want, what we're going to do is actually aiming for 64 kilobits. So don't hit the 64, go to 128. And what you're going to do is underneath there, you'll see a checkbox for using the variable bit rate. Do not have that. Some, very few, but some MP3 players have a problem with variable bit rate. Make sure your sample rate is 44.1. Channels, you're going to swap that puppy over to mono. Then you're going to click OK. Don't worry about the other two selections. Just go ahead and click OK. And then OK again. And now you can take, open up the folder location of your, or the location of your WAV file from wherever you saved it at. Take it, drag it on over to your, over to a playlist on iTunes. I made one special called WAV Conversion. I save it. I put pound WAV Conversion. That way it's at the very, very top at always. And I'll drag and drop it. All right. Now, doesn't automatically cause anything to happen when you drag and drop. It just sits there. Basically, what I did is that you're importing the WAV file over to the media, iTunes media folder in your music directory. So what you're going to do is you're going to right click. Again, Macintosh, I know y'all don't believe in two buttons for whatever reason. So however it is, you do an alternate click. You would right click on this and you'll get a little drop down menu in Windows. And you'll see one of the options being convert to MP3. Click that, 10 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, and it's done. Now, the reason why I chose to do it this way, besides for having using Fraunhofer as the MP3 encoder, which is better for voice, it also takes at the most about 30 seconds to encode. If you were to run that through Audacity, that's a 5-minute wait, 5-10 minute wait for it to encode. It's horrendously awful slow. A lot better going through iTunes. So Apple did something good. Yes, I, as you'll find out, I'm sure down the road, so I'll end up becoming an Apple person myself. But here at the moment, I'm not a big Apple fan. I pretty much use just Windows and Android. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up having to swap over to an Apple phone, Apple product, one form, fashion, or another. And if I do, I'm going to go all out and probably get myself a Macintosh Pro. But till then, and I'm sure I'm not supposed to call it a Macintosh, but it's actually the first computer I ever had was an Apple Macintosh. But anyhow, so once that's done and your encoding is complete, you would go into your music folder, iTunes media, unknown album, and inside of unknown artist, unknown album, one of those two. I can tell you here real quick. You would go into your music folder or music directory and go into iTunes, iTunes media, music, unknown artist, unknown album. And in there you will have the folder, or you'll have your WAV and your MP3. So now you got your MP3 folder or your MP3 file. What do you do now? Well, you've got to add what's called an ID3 tag. Okay. ID3 tag. Great place to go to get your ID3 tags is to look for MP3 tagger. There's a link for it in the show. And I'll see if I can find something for Macintosh to be able to use also, so that y'all are able to edit y'all's file. But you want to make sure you have these particular items entered into your ID3 tags. Okay. First off is going to be very, very evident. It is when you click on your title or your file in MP3 tag, you're going to see title. That's the name of your episode, not your show itself, but your episode. So you'd put in the, so like this one, the show here, this episode, I would end up putting in editing with Audacity dash EP9. Now, a lot of people, there is kind of a discussion about whether or not you need to put in the episode number. I do, just as a visual, so people know, hey, this is episode 9. Hey, this is, instead of having to go through and go, well, what's editing? Which episode was editing with Audacity, and having to wait for me to go editing podcast Ojo episode 9 to keep people from having to listen to me yabber about, to just wait for me to be able to tell them. At least they can pull it up and go, hey, this is episode 9. I've already listened. I listened to 8 the other day. Thought it was really neat. Need to listen to episode 9 now. That gives them a chance to be able to see that. Next item you want to enter. Artist. Now, this is the name of your show, not who you are. That's down the road, but your name of your show, artist, is for this case, I put in Podcast Dojo. Album, again, Podcast Dojo. Year, put in the year that was created. That one's easy, just 2013 for this one. Track, which episode number? So 009 or, you know, 324, whatever. And then your genre. Now, some people get really confused. Some people just put podcast, or you can, what is your show about? What genre do you like to pin your show into? Is it family? Is it news, politics? Is it comedy? Whatever. Put that in your genre. You can actually just click in there. Don't worry about the drop down. All that is music genres. And so just put in, just you can, if you click, start typing, it'll, you can put in whatever genre you want to put in. Then we have comment. Put in your show notes is a good way to do that. And it'll do everything but put in the unneeded stuff, but it'll put, you can put your show notes into that. Then we get down to album artist. Album artist is your name. Put your name in there, or you and your co-host name, however you want to put. Composer, leave blank. Disc number, leave blank. Now we get down to the very bottom. This is your album art. Okay. Now, album art is very, very important. You want to make sure that this puppy, this is the same. You can, well, correction. I was fixing to say this, you need to make sure that this album art is the same as what your album art is for iTunes, which is the 1400 by 1400 square picture. Have that puppy shrunk down to 300 by 300. You need about 600 by 600 is getting a little large, but still you can do 300 by 300 is what I recommend. Take it, place it into that, into your ID3 tag album art there. Now, what this is when you're on an iPod and you bring it and you're listening to a show, that album art is what's going to show up on your iPod, or is going to show up on your music player. Whenever you're playing an MP3, it will pull up that image. Now, you can set it as have a different image for each episode. Some people do that. A little too much work for me. I don't care to do it. So, but want to at least make sure you have that in there. It looks a lot more professional than not having anything in there at all. And it takes 2 seconds to drag and drop. It, there's nothing to it. You don't have to do any fancy coding. Just have to have your cover art, which you can get from Fiverr. Or if you know a graphics designer, make it, have them make it 3,000 by 3,000 square, and then ask them to put out one that's 1,400 by 1,400, 600 by 600, 300 by 300, 150 by 150. You'll get everything you could possibly need for covered. So, once you have that done, save it, and then your file is finally ready to upload to Libsyn or Blueberry or internetarchive.org or wherever it is you put your media file. And after you have that done and it's uploaded, then put the link that you're supposed to use and put it into the Blueberry podcast box that is underneath your editor. In your show notes, when you're editing your show notes down below, you've got several different items. One of those is going to be podcast episodes, and you'll put your URL for your show. Now, if you happen to be, if you can actually in the setup, go through and put the base folder, the root folder of where your podcast is located, your shows are going to be uploaded to. So if it's like, say, podcastdojo.com/podcast, You could put that into a setting in Blueberry PowerPress itself. And then anytime you put a new show up, all you have to do is just type in, you know, pdj009.mp3, hit verify that it's actually there. It'll come up and it'll automatically fill in the time and size of the file. And you can enter in the different parts of the information that you need to put in. So after you enter in your media URL, you'll actually, a couple other things you want to put into here. iTunes keywords. Now for the keywords, up to 12 different keywords. What is this episode really, really about? You can use, for example, your tags, but to do that, you would just leave blank, but choose the keywords and choose them well and use 12 keywords. Just, you want to make sure you use the 12. And then the iTunes subtitle, leave blank and just use the first 250 characters of your blog post. That's the easiest. So, and then from there, you can go ahead and either A, schedule your show to be released at whatever time and date, or you can go ahead and click publish and send it out to everybody. And that's where we start talking about RSS, and we will get into RSS stuff on next episode. Actually, that's going to be the grand finale of what to do to first get the first 10 episodes. And that be about, you know, how to get your actual podcast up off the ground, the bare minimum. You can do it in about 10 episodes works the best. So we'll get into that next week. Now, time for the tip and podcasting news. Tip tool of the week. This week, I've got just a tip. And it is, if you are looking around and you finally get finished and you export your file and you see, holy crud, I have got 100 meg file, which is way too large for a podcast. A podcast episode is typically about 40, 50 megs for a hour long show. Okay. If you are seeing 100 meg file or bigger, couple things you want to do. Make sure you're not encoding one in stereo, because like I said, if you're encoding in stereo, you're doing 128 bit. That means you've got your right side and your left side are both getting 64 bits. And so if you go off and you actually turn either A, make everything mono, that will make If you check to make sure that you're encoding in mono, that will cut your show almost literally in half in size. And so it'll be a lot smaller, a lot easier to manage. And your listeners will be so much happier because, you know, sorry, there's not a whole lot of free space on phones. Yes, you've got 64 gig sizes. Not many of them have a 64 gig sized phone. I don't. I've only got, I think I got a 18. So, but either way, doesn't matter. It's neither here nor there. So, but anyway, I also had an opinion part, instead of some news this week. I have been, from time to time, I go online, through Twitter, and I go and I look for people to, look for people to talk to. See if they're having a problem with this, that, or something podcast wise. Are they having a podcast problem, or are they looking at thinking of making a podcast? And I try to throw a few hints their way to, you know, one, go, hey, look, this guy actually knows what's happening. Two, just to help people out. I'm not going to them going, well, if you want to have help on that, come to my show. I don't even mention my show unless they ask. But I have come across a kind of an alarming little issue that's creeping up, and I really am not all that fond of it. And that is, you know, I am a fan of celebrities. I think celebrities doing what celebrities do is great. Celebrities bring awareness to different mediums. That's one reason why podcast has gotten so popular, is because people like Kevin Smith and Adam Carolla and Leo Laporte and Adam Curry, and all these other celebrities. I mean, we have, just about all the comedians are doing some type of podcast. And that is great. I mean, you're not going to hear me complain about celebrities being in podcasting, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have podcasting wouldn't be nearly as popular. It'd still be a bunch of geeks in the basement talking about Star Wars. But we've now they have brought the awareness because they have the audience. They bring the audience. The audience becomes aware that, holy crud, podcasts are actually kind of a neat thing. That's you get to hear things more than just about Star Wars. So you have some, well, never mind. I came across Sean Austin, you know, Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. He does a political podcast, which is nothing wrong. I love the fact that he does a political podcast. I don't think there's enough. Now, I know what side he leans, and whether I agree or disagree doesn't amount to a hill of beans in with this podcast. But the thing I see and the thing I've noticed is he is actually on Kickstarter now trying to raise $30,000 for it so that he can do his podcast. And the thing that really scares me about that is the fact that there are people out there going, holy crap, it costs a lot to start a podcast. And I'm like, no, dude. And I had a small conversation with him. It wasn't anything big. It was a small conversation about him asking why. I flat out asked him, why do you need $30,000 to do a podcast? You don't need $30,000. If you want to do high quality, you could do uber high quality for, you know, $15,000, actually even less than $15,000 for like about $5,000. And that is uber super duper quality. But what it is, and when you see people going on Kickstarter or Fund Your Project or any of the other types of crowdsourcing entities that you see, know that when you see people asking for money for podcasts, it's not because podcasting is expensive. It is because they're trying to cut a corner or two. And if they succeed, good on them. But a lot of times I'm one of those who thinks you has the firm belief that you really kind of have to pay your dues. You know, if you're going to be well known in a atmosphere in a particular medium, you kind of have to pay your dues. You're going to have to fight hard for your listeners. Throwing $30,000 at a podcast so that you can have a professional producer is not going to cause you to have more people. Now, you may be thinking, well, look at Alec Baldwin. He just got himself his own television show. Well, whoop-de-flippin-do about him. He was also in New York spouting off a bunch of his own personal views. And he was basically going about it to show his interview ability. And he ran off of the name Baldwin. It wasn't because of the show. His show, I'd listened to a few. Yeah, there's a couple of times he had some pretty good guests on. But a lot of it was because of Alec Baldwin. Anything wrong with that? No. He's put in many, many, many years in Hollywood to have the recognition that he has. He has thrown a number of phenomenal fits to have the name recognition that he has. I don't recommend people throwing fits like he does, because as normal folk will wind up in jail. So when you peruse Kickstarter or Indiegogo or whatever, and you trip across podcasters, know that you don't have to spend $30,000. I've came across some who are, well, I want to be able to use a particular computer to be able to edit my shows so that they're better. Wrong bit of information. Again, it's not the type of quality. You can have you can have that 24 megapixel, I think it's 24, maybe it's 100 megapixel camera by Hasselblad. You can have the best Hasselblad camera out there and still take Instamatic photographs. You can have, I see people now using iPhones cameras and doing amazing things. It is not the equipment. It is how you use it. It is the content. Are you producing the quality content for your listeners? Again, Alec Baldwin, yes, he is producing quality content for his listeners. Kevin Smith, quality content for his particular crowd. If you are producing quality content, well, guess what you're going to get to have? Yes, that's right. You're going to have listeners. You're going to have a larger following. So always try to make larger following. Try to get the best that you can. Pour the best of yourself as you that you can make into your show. By doing so, you're going to have people follow you a lot better, and you're going to become more well-known. And it's going to because of all the celebrities. But don't sweat trying to put $30,000 or $100,000 or even $10,000 into your show. It's not going to make your show better. It's better if you build that character and you improve yourself step by step. Get that new microphone, get the new mixer, and, you know, and be that way you're excited about it instead of going, oh, hey, look at that. Everybody helped me get this. And so it'll at least make you apply yourself a little bit tougher, a little bit harder, and not want to give up on your show quite so readily. So anyhow, folks, I want to thank you very much for listening. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it on up. If you are interested in starting up a podcast, you can actually go to podcastdojo.com/site5. And that's the number 5. And sign up on site 5. They're very podcast friendly. And if you're just starting, they don't mind so much allowing you to have your MP3 file, your podcast files on there. Just know that if you get too big, then they're going to be asking you to leave. But if you sign up on there, you help me to be able to pay for the show and keep the show rolling. So I hope that you sign up. And if you do, shoot an email to me stating what your site name is, and I will be more than happy to give you a shout out on the show and help to link to you. Put a link to your show on the show notes. That way you get a little bit of the link love and the Google juice and the whatever terms they use to help you grow. Also, if you had a comment, a question about anything we talked about, please feel free to shoot me an email over at brian@podcastdojo.com, or you can give us a ring and leave a voicemail message at 530-763-2789. That is also at 530-PODCST9. I tried to go for podcast and just, I couldn't do it. So, you can also, wouldn't mind if you were to go to podcastdojo.com/love. That will give you a pre-populated tweet and share that out, and you'll be letting the rest of your followers on Twitter know that you're listening to Podcast Dojo, and may help to grow the community a bit and have some people start having a good conversation. If you are listening to Podcast Dojo through iTunes, if you wouldn't mind going to podcastdojo.com/review, that will take you to the iTunes page. From there, you can leave a review and rate us. And if you would please rate us, give us a fair rating, and let me know what you think of it. That would help out tremendously on, again, helping the community grow. And if you are a Stitcher person, I finally got my Stitcher link up on the site. So, yay. If you like to listen to us, listen to your podcast through Stitcher, over on the right-hand side, you're going to see the social different social networks and Facebook, Twitter, Google+, but you're also going to see the Stitcher logo, and you just click on that and that'll take you right over to the show there. Or you can just go to podcastdojo.com/Stitcher and just take the shortcut. So, but if you're listening to us there, give us a thumbs up and share us out, and let your friends know that you're listening to Podcast Dojo. And you can also follow Podcast Dojo on all the different media sites that we have listed on the show. So I thank y'all again, folks, again, for taking the time to listen to me yammer, and we'll talk to you next week. So during that time, go tell the world who you are. Hey Rolling Podcast Network, HeyRolling.com.
Yeah!